Welcome to What the World Needs Now with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for being with us today for whatever part of the 2 hours you can be with us or were with us. In the first hour, our show, Saints and Sinners, we talked about St. Rita of Cassia and some other topics. And in this hour, looking forward to our conversation about Our Lady of Good Success. Before we get there, just a reminder that our men's retreat weekend is coming up August 16th to the 18th out of Malvern. That's the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group. We have a great retreat director flying in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, Father Bryce Lundgren, who wrote a book called The Catholic Cowboy Way. And so all are more than welcome. But I encourage everybody at least once a year. Father McKay would say, just like going to the dentist, you want to go twice a year. To come out to Malvern and make that annual retreat. You'll be more than welcome to come out on my men's weekend, that August 16th to the 18th. But if you go out to malvernretreat.com, click on register for a retreat, and it'll bring up a whole list of the retreats coming up in the next year. It goes through them chronologically, and look for one that might interest you. If you have questions about that particular weekend in August or any retreat at Malvern, I'd be more than happy to help you out. You can get in touch with me through the Our House Ministries website or get in touch with Maureen here at In His Sign, and she can put you in touch with me. So our guest today in this 5 o'clock hour is Mr. Jim Valoy. And in the preparation, Jim, you know what? It didn't have it in the back of the book, and I usually have a bio right in front of me. And I don't have it today.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No problem. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, if you want to give it to our listeners real quick.
Two adult children there, and I actually came from a evangelical background. I was Catholic originally, then I became a revert after going to Franciscan University. So, shout out to Franciscan for helping me see the fullness of the truth and come back into the Catholic faith.
It's beautiful. And I never really left. I left the faith. I didn't go to another denomination or anything. I just basically didn't practice my faith for a decade, and then came back. And one of my favorite shows to watch when I came back was Journey Home. That was on EWTN, and it would have the stories of a number of evangelicals and other Protestant denominations that found their way to the Catholic Church and kind of reinforced that I was in the right spot. So hearing guys like you, reassures me that I'm still in the right spot.
Yes,
indeed. The book we're going to talk about today is called Our Lady's Prophecies. It's published by Sophia Institute and is available on Sophia's website, sophiainstitute.com, here locally in the Philadelphia market. I'd encourage you to get in touch with the St. Jude shop. They usually have most of Sophia's books in stock, and if they don't, they can get it for you pretty quickly. And so, Jim, what was it that initially had you learn about Our Lady of Good Success and prompted you to write the book?
Well, a friend of mine, he kind of introduced the topic by showing me a DVD that Matthew Arnold did, a really good DVD introducing the whole concept. And I found it to be a credible apparition, but I never intended to do anything with it. I just learned about it and was going to, try to incorporate what I learned into my life. And then years later, a door closed that I wasn't expecting, and this door opened for me to write a book. And I thought, I'll write about this great Catholic president who truly was devout, and then through my pastor, giving me some material, I started to rethink what I was going to do. And I thought, instead of writing about this president, this president that was predicted would be a great Catholic president, and he would truly be devout, would come on the scene in Ecuador. And I actually decided that I would put that in the context of Our Lady of Good Success of the Purification. So that's when I started thinking, well, I'm going to add my voice, because this message is supposed to be out now. Now is the time. And so I'm going to add my voice and help get the message out so that people can know what she predicted over 400 years ago when the apparitions first took place.
Yeah, we swapped a couple emails, and we just had a minute to talk before we came on live. And I mentioned to you that I had heard of Our Lady of Good Success, and I never heard it with the end of it. As you mentioned, it's Our Lady of Good Success of the Purification. But many people that have heard of Our Lady of Good Success but know absolutely nothing about the actual apparitions that took place. For example, I had no idea that they took place in Ecuador. And mm-hmm. from your book, not only learned about the apparitions, but also a little bit about the history of Ecuador and the turmoil that they had gone through. So,
yes.
So maybe to start off, this would take place in the country of Ecuador, but the people that the main protagonists before the good Catholic president were not from Ecuador, right? They would come from Spain.
That's right. Northern Spain was where Mother Mariana, well, at the time she was just Mariana, and she was a teenager. And she wanted to join the Conceptionists, and her mother and father were supportive of that, but they wanted her to stay in Spain, which I can understand that. And yet she heard the Lord specifically call her to go with her aunt and four other sisters and travel across to the New World, which at that time was South America.
And so we're talking, this is the 1560s, I believe?
When it was, yes, that's, well, it was 1576. And as they were traveling, it took about 2 months for them to get over from Spain.
Yeah, I read that, and I'm just thinking, you know, the 16th century, 2 months on a ship, what kind of food do you bring that's going to last 2 months? It's not like you had refrigerators and ice and or anything to maintain the food. It must have been a lot of dried and salted items that would keep them alive until they got here.
Yeah, that's a really thoughtful question, because I tried to do some research, in, you know, by calling the Spanish Navy, and was not able to get too far at that point, but maybe someday,
yeah,
if I do a larger book, I could actually find out more about the kind of things that they would have eaten, and also how they would have stored those foods.
Yeah, and then they arrive on the coast of Ecuador, and you would have thought that it would have got easier from there. But it sounds like the trek from the coast to the, I guess it's the actually a city maybe, a larger area called Quito, Q-U-I-T-O. That was almost as difficult as being on a ship for 2 months, I think, or at least the way it sounded.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because when they made port at Guayaquil, to go from Guayaquil to Quito for much of the time of Ecuador as a country, was another whole journey where they had to go on roads that were barely roads, and they had to go with a small group of people, and there were wild animals. It was a journey that I would say required faith, because you had to have enough faith that you would go from point A to point B without getting killed.
And so they arrive in, and is it said Quito? Is that the...
Well, I called Quito, but that's pretty close.
Okay. And so they arrive. They initially, I believe, were welcomed, right, when they established their convent?
Yes. The matrons of the city had reached out to the king, because in those days the king was very involved in setting up a new foundation. And they said, we would like to have a foundation of Conceptionist cloistered nuns. And the king agreed to that. In those days, at that particular time, the Spanish were very interested in evangelization. And so they wanted to help evangelize Ecuador. And what better way to do it was to start a foundation with sisters who are going to live a life of prayer and asceticism and be a witness, a shining light on a hill. So that's what they did, is they approved it. And then the matrons of the city and officials of, well, it was really a colony, the colony of St. Francis, welcomed the sisters as they trudged their way into the little city, and went to the accommodations that were provided for them.
And things were pretty good at the outset. They it sounded like even some of the native people would eventually join the order.
Yes, that was at the beginning. The native people were very interested because they were sending over really good religious, and it was the king was on target, and he was really not trying to, go for the gold, if you will. It was later kings that got off track from the primary purpose and started to do things that were very, very wrong. But this particular time, they had the natives joining, and the Spanish wanted that, the poor native girls to join in on the convent and be a part of the religious life. And there was, on their way in, they did have a harrowing experience where the evil one attacked them. But that's a whole nother story. They had seen a vision of the evil one saying he will not permit this foundation to get established, because he knew once this foundation was established, it would become a great threat to his kingdom in Ecuador and the surrounding areas.
And that was when they had their first vision. And was it Mariana that had, was she the sole one that had the visions?
No, there were the other nuns saw it too. In fact, they made an emblem of this. They saw this gigantic sea serpent, and in the sea serpent, it had multiple heads. And then they were given a picture of our Blessed Mother and an image of our mother with the infant Jesus on it. And Jesus had a sword in his hand, and he was literally leveling the sea serpent, chopping off their heads and, bringing calm and peace to the great storm that took place at sea there. So it was a harrowing time. Mariana actually fainted during that time because it was something that she wasn't expecting, and I don't think anyone was expecting that kind of a direct attack of the enemy.
Very good. So when they arrive in Quito and they established, Mariana was not yet a sister, correct?
That's correct. She was was going to live the life and enter into it as a postulate, I think, is the term. And so she was going to enter into as much as she could at the time, and then later on, slowly but surely get introduced to the life of being a warrior, like an ascetical warrior like she was.
Very good. So, yeah, as was in the book, she was, after 2 years, she would take her simple vows, and then October of 1579, October the 4th, which, of course, was the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and they being part of the Franciscan order, if you will, or the Franciscan family. She would take her final vows on October the 4th in the year 1579.
Yeah, and then she started on that journey of living the life fully as a religious. Yes.
And it wouldn't take long after that that she would begin to experience the different visions and eventually the apparitions.
Yes, she had vision, various visions, like when she was given her ring, she was told by her Lord, who had a beautiful ring for her, that her life would be a martyrdom, and that she would be like a, well, that she would be a victim soul. And for our time, and that's what is kind of, I hope that our listeners will take a look at the book and read it, because Our Lady's prophecies talk about how this victim soul, she was willing to give her life for us in our 20th and our 21st century, but it's the problems began to emerge in the 19th and the 20th century, and Our Lady talked about what would happen in the in the prophecies.
Yeah, and that's where it really gets interesting, because like some of the other apparitions that we've heard about, that the Blessed Mother would and those it would be, if you don't do this, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, and it does. But the Blessed Mother would tell Mariana, it was just, spot on, and not just one or two things, but over the course of a few hundred years, really predicted what was going to happen. And as I was reading this book, and I think I had said in an email to you yesterday, I started yesterday, and usually I'm not a fast reader, but I wanted to get through it. And again, I think the book is about 100 pages, so it's not like it's an introduction, and it's not going to take a great deal of time for others to read. But I wanted to see where the whole thing was going, and
sure,
it does right up until today. And it's like, if you read this, there's nothing new under the sun. Mariana knew about all this stuff that was going to happen 400 years ago.
That's exactly right. She saw the decline of faith and morals that would happen in the 20th century. And we had, many people estimate 100 million people die at the hands of various communist regimes, which in the book I indicate that I believe that's one of the heresies that was spoken about in the prophecies, that the heresy of communism in all its many different forms. And now in our own country, we have a collectivist mentality many times, and it's affecting our country in a very detrimental way as well.
Yeah, and I've kind of made a couple of notes that they want to go through in that regard. So even in the time when Mariana was alive, things seemed to be going okay in Ecuador, and then things started to unravel where there were revolts and revolutions. And so she got to see some of these things firsthand?
Well, yes. Ecuador just became a mishmash of revolutions, one after the other, and it was pillaged by tyrants who led the country. And Mother Mariana began to see Spain, some of the leaders in Spain had gold in mind rather than religious evangelization. And and they began to send over lukewarm religious. So that caused some of the native sisters to have problems and feel like the strictness that Mother Mariana brought to the nuns was too strict, and they needed to loosen up on the regulations. So this one nun, a native nun, her name was, they called her La Capitan, and she kind of became the leader of the opposition, if you will. So right in the convent itself, there was this opposition going on. It got quite intense, and that was happening at the same time as, you know, you had Ecuador as a country. People were just milking it, and it kind of like, you know, one of the risks of a republic, I guess, is if you don't get someone that really cares about the people, you end up with a country that's being milked and pillaged.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the exact timing, but I had highlighted in the book that that Mariana would learn that this great Catholic president was going to come along, and she's given the prophecy on January the 16th in 1599, and this is probably more than 200 years before that president would come, right?
Yeah, I calculate around 278 years.
Yeah.
Our Lady spoke of this magnificent president that would arise, that would be a man of character, and actually would be a man who would give his life for our Lord. He did give his life for our Lord and became a martyr. He was in for two terms, and he was going on his third term. The people loved him because, you know, he gave his salary back to the people, charitable works. And if you look at his daily schedule, I mean, the man was a saint. And his heart is now incorrupt, but it's hidden so that it will not be destroyed. But even in recent modern times, there has been some instability in Ecuador. So it hasn't stopped yet, the instability and sort of like the revolutionary problems in that country.
Yeah. And just in for our listeners, in this prophecy, and if you don't mind, Jim, I just want to take the beginning of that section. It reads, in the 19th century, a truly Christian president will come. This is our Blessed Mother talking to Mariana. A man of character to whom God our Lord will grant the palm of martyrdom in this very square where my convent is. So you mentioned that, where he would die. He will consecrate the Republic to the Sacred Heart of my beloved Son, and this consecration will sustain the Catholic religion throughout the following years. During those years, which will be ominous for the Church, the accursed sect of Freemasonry will take over the civil government. A cruel persecution will rage against all religious communities and will descend upon this convent with special fury. Because of those wretched men, the convent would perish, but God lives and I live, and we will raise powerful defenders from their own midst. We shall place insuperable difficulties in their path. The triumph will be ours. And as you mentioned, all this comes true. But the reason I mention that is because our Blessed Mother brings up to Sister Mariana the idea of Freemasonry. And I became a Knight of the Immaculata back in 1997, and I've read a lot of St. Maximilian Kolbe and his forming the Knights of Immaculata in order to combat Freemasonry. And I think that that's something that's really lost on a lot of people today, that Freemasonry is alive and well. And it this goes back all the way, a couple hundred years now.
Yeah, and some argue, like I heard a priest arguing, that some people have adopted the idea, some of the ideas of this whole Masonic movement, that whatever you believe is fine. You know, you could believe anything you want, and heck with public revelation, you can believe anything you want. And so the people that buy into this, in a sense, they could unwittingly be a part of the mystical body of Satan, because just like our Lord has a mystical body, so does the enemy. And the enemy's mystical body does the will of the evil one, whereas the mystical body of Christ, you know, we know that we are called to be priests, prophets, and kings, and to do the will of God, to bring God's word into situations, and to carry that word and to be intercessors and to live out our baptismal calling. Every single Christian is called to this. That is an army right there that is unsurpassable.
Very good. We're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Our guest today is Jim Valoy, James Valoy, as it is on the cover of the book. And the name of the book is Our Lady's Prophecies, published by Sophia Institute, available at sophiainstitute.com, locally in the Philadelphia market. Check out the St. Jude shop. If they don't have it in stock, they can get it for you pretty quickly. So I encourage you to use those two outlets before trying the other outfits. And as I've said a couple of times, I think, in this segment, I've learned so much about Our Lady of Good Success, of the purification. I think a lot of people may have seen prayer cards in churches, or if you're plugged into any of the Catholic websites, and once in a while, you may see this image of Our Lady of Good Success, but really had no idea what it was. And thankful to Jim for putting this book together that shares it. He's also agreed in the second half of the show today to take any questions or comments you may have. Perhaps you've known about Our Lady of Good Success for quite a while and have a devotion you might want to share with us, or if you have questions that we haven't addressed yet, you can call us at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-343-2484. So we have just a minute before we go to the break, Jim. And this great president, his name would be Garcia Moreno. Is that right?
Yes. His full name was Don Gabriel. And Don Gabriel Garcia Moreno, and he's the man that literally the only country on record that I know of, and I think it's the only country in the world, that consecrated, he had the entire nation consecrated to our Lord's Sacred Heart. And so he stands out among all the leaders of various republics. France did it, but they were asked to do it. Whereas in this situation, Don Gabriel Garcia Moreno approached the church, and the bishops were more than happy to do that. And they worked very closely together. And he regenerated the whole country. If we were to talk about some of the things he did, that whole chapter is a lesson in leadership.
Yeah, we'll do that when we come back from the break. But I love this motto, liberty for everyone and everything, except for evil and evildoers. So, again, our guest today is James Valoy. The book is Our Lady's Prophecies, and available at SophiaInstitutePress.com. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take your phone calls if you have them. If not, we'll delve a little bit further into the book. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father Doisy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now and allow us to bring you great shows like today's. Our guest today is James Valois. We've been talking about his book, Our Lady's Prophecies, published by Sophia Institute Press, available at sophiainstitute.com, locally here at the St. Jude Shop. And a fascinating story. As I've mentioned a couple of times, I had heard of Our Lady of Good Success and learned a whole lot in the last couple of days as a result of getting through the book, and highly recommend it to anybody that is interested in this topic. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the apparition that Sister Mariana had, where the Blessed Mother promised a great Catholic president that would come to Ecuador, and that came over 200 years before the president was actually elected. And when he came, and I think we mentioned this before, Jim, that it's you not only learn about the apparitions, but a lot about the history of Ecuador. I had no idea, like even geographically where it was, and on the border of Peru, and the War of 41, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes here. But before that, in the latter half of the 19th century, I guess, the 1860s, this great Catholic president comes along, and one of his first reforms included education, where he basically mandated that the Catholic faith, the Christian faith, be taught in the primary schools. And I was trying to think what would happen in the United States if somebody ran and that was their platform, that mm-hmm. we were going to implement religion class in all of our primary schools. We probably have another revolution here, and not a good one.
Yeah, and, he wanted to educate his people because he loved his people so much that he wanted to bring back the religious orders that were teaching orders so that he could just multiply the number of teachers in the country. And statistically, he brought in hundreds of teachers and made possible for hundreds of additional schools, as well as universities. And he went and he literally regenerated the country. But first he had to fix the electoral problems, because they had it weighted incorrectly in such a way that Guayaquil would have as many votes as Quito, when there was way more people up in Quito. So he had to fix that problem, but he regenerated education. That was definitely something that everyone recognizes that looks at his life.
Yeah, he went from, I think the numbers were 8,000 students to 32,000 students in just a couple of years, which is which was pretty interesting. And not only that, but he builds infrastructure, right? Roads so people could get from one end of the country to the other. Railroads.
Yes, that's exactly right. That he made it easy to travel within the country, and that would, you know, helped on a lot of different levels, but for trade purposes, and also to make travel easier for the people. And I was on some of those highways when I was down in Ecuador, you know, as an evangelical. So I saw, you know, how easy it was to travel today compared to what it was like before he was in leadership.
Yeah. The other area he had to reform was the military. And I highlighted a line in here where it says, he also provided chaplains to every regiment for the sacraments, religious instruction, and annual retreats. So,
yes.
Yeah. I think back to, I know there's an organization with Father Richard Heilman and Roman Catholic Gear where they give out or sell, rather, rosaries that replicate the rosaries that apparently American soldiers got during World War One. I guess as part of their equipment, everybody was given a rosary. But to see that he was making sure that his military was provided for, because it wasn't a real good military, I think, when he first got into power.
Yes, it was run by a lot of you might call brigands and people that would use their military position to extort money from others. And so he had to get rid of bad military leaders, bring good military leaders in, and literally transform the military into a well-trained fighting force. That's another thing that he did, was he got them the best training that you could get, and transformed their ability to fight against their neighbors or whoever might raise a threat against Ecuador. So that was another way in which Garcia Moreno was exemplary. And I think the whole chapter is good for young people that want, you know, feel like they have a gift of leadership, just to see how he structured his days and how he approached the problems of his country and what he fixed and what he, you know, went after first. So I tried to do a really good job on that, because I was very impressed with his life.
Yeah, I was wondering how much sleep he required, because he seemed like a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, it seemed like he only went like from midnight to or 11:30 or midnight to about 5 in the morning. So, you know, he really started his day with prayer, a personal prayer time, meditation, and daily mass. So, he was a frequent, as I encourage in the book, as much as possible, for people to be frequently receiving the sacraments.
Amen. Nothing like being able to be a daily communicant. It's been such a great gift in my life and the life of so many other people that I know that try to make it to Mass daily. It's life-changing.
Yes,
but you have to do it to experience it, though.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And one of the great lines I highlighted in this chapter, it says historian Slatke, and I'm not sure exactly who that is, but the he has a quote in here you quote him: "Unlike many modern politicians who measure the greatness of a civilization by its material progress, Garcia Moreno understood that the touchstone of a true civilization is the moral and religious perfection of its people." And I read that line, and then I look at today's newspaper, and I don't even know if we're a civilized country anymore based on that.
No, it's a good point you're making, because, you know, it's almost as if we can make this country moral and spiritual in a right kind of way, but we have to start fighting back. Like, sometimes there was one major sports team that was clueless about the fact that, you know, here we're going to give an award to this group that's blaspheming our Lord and our religion. And, you know, we have to be willing to stand up against those things in love and also in peace. But just like no one should be able to go after any religion, whether it's Islam or whatever religion happens to be the religion, they shouldn't be allowed to go after Catholicism either. But unfortunately, in our country right today, it's fair game.
Amen. I want to make sure that those that may have joined us late that you know that we're talking to Jim Valois, V-A-L-O-I-S, and the book we're talking about is Our Lady's Prophecies, published by Sophia Institute Press. Moving on to Our Lady's apparitions to Sister Mariana that regarded the 19th and or the 20th, and I guess the 21st century. She declared in the book Under the Great Crisis, she declares the following: "Thus I make it known to you that from the end of the 19th century and from shortly after the middle of the 20th century, in what is today the colony and will then be the Republic of Ecuador, the passions will erupt and there will be a total corruption of customs, for Satan will reign almost completely by means of the Masonic sects. They will focus principally on the children in order to sustain this general corruption. Woe to the children of these times." And I know she's talking about Ecuador in this apparition, but certainly it can be applied to what's going on here in the United States. Jim, did I lose you? Hello, Jim. Seems that...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, now we're good.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
That was my mistake. But what I was going to say was, just like we, you know, we see these people with gender dysphoria who, as Catholic healthcare professionals, we should be the first ones helping them in the various confusions and difficulties that they're having, instead of offering them the so-called quick fix of body mutilation. Instead, we oftentimes remain silent. So I think we need to talk to these young people and help them with what they're struggling with. But you might call it a second sexual revolution that's happening right now in our country. Bishop Elliott wrote a book on this, and he talks about the new sexual revolution and how it's different than the other one because there's more global leadership involved in this revolution. But I think he's got a good point that a lot of this was Our Lady told Sister Mariana, Mother Mariana. She said that there would be a total corruption of customs, and we would see the, you know, I see this as the redefinition of marriage and the new sexual revolution that Bishop Elliott talks about in his book, and drugs pouring over our border into our young people's hands and many people losing their lives. You know, and so there's a lot of need, but it's a situation that if everybody takes their baptismal calling for serious, we can begin to address the problems.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And one of the sections, a couple pages after that one, the Blessed Mother tells Sister Mariana at the end, "Added to this will be the effects of secular education, which will be one reason for the death of priestly and religious vocations." And here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia on Saturday was a wonderful day. We ordained 3 priests, and we're expecting between 20 and 30 to retire over the next 12 months. If they haven't retired already, the list of clergy assignments just came out last week, And so this prediction has certainly come true, as we've seen the drastic decrease in the number of priests and religious that we have.
Yes, it has. And, you know, the bad priests from, let's say, the 20th century that were the 3% that were living, they weren't living their vocation. They were living immorally. And, you know, it doesn't take into consideration that 97% of the priests were living their vocations. And, you know, Our Lady said the bad priests would cause bad Catholics to join the enemies of the church and blame all priests. And I think that's happening in our day, where all priests are being blamed for a small percentage. Now, there shouldn't be one, but this small percentage from before the reforms were made in the 20th century is a far cry from, you know, trying to put all priests in that category.
All right. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left here, Jim. So I think I've covered the notes that I made as I went through the book. The one question I did have is, you mentioned earlier about, public revelation versus, or you mentioned public revelation, and of course this would be private revelation, and especially in light of the recent news out of the Vatican regarding apparitions and the, I guess, the new approval process that they may have. But is this apparition one that was generally approved at some point?
Yes, Salvador Rivera Avalos approved it in 1611, and so way back at the beginning, it was approved. And then the ninth bishop of Quito, Pedro de Oviedo, gave the funeral mass in homily, where he praised Mother Mariana for her life of heroic virtue, and he mentioned that Mother Mariana had received the charismatic gift of prophecy. So he mentioned it. Then every subsequent bishop of Quito continued to grant this approval. So it was ongoing approval by all of these bishops. And then in 1986, Archbishop Antonio Gonzalez Zumarraga, he was made a cardinal, and he initiated the cause for the beatification of Mother Mariana of Jesus Torres. And the decree was favorable to Mother Mariana, and he again reaffirmed that she practiced all the virtues to a heroic degree, and acknowledged her supernatural charisms, when, for example, not only a prophecy, but of healing and other charisms that she would be given at times. And then, of course, John Paul II, our great beloved Pope, he gave Mother Mary or the devotion of Our Lady of Good Success the papal crown in 1991, and that papal crown is only given for devotions that have at least 100 years of considered worthy of belief, being considered worthy of belief. So you might say this apparition is even more favorable than most apparitions that we have, you know, that are calling for many of the same kinds of responses.
And I think I read, as part of the canonization process with most, if not all, saints, they exhume the bodies, and I believe she's incorruptible. Is that correct?
Yes. In 1906, they found that Mother Mariana and seven other nuns were found to be incorrupt, which in and of itself is not a sign of the authenticity of the revelations. But I think the fact that there is ecclesial support going all the way back to the beginning is the reason people can trust this apparition, and they can buy the book and read the prophecies themselves, because I put the prophecies right in the book, so they could read them.
No, that's right. And I've quoted from a few of them during the show today. You mentioned earlier that as an evangelical, you had gone to Ecuador. When you were there, was Our Lady of Good Success something that was on your mind, or is this something you came to know afterwards?
I came to know it many, many years afterwards. And they, some of the Protestants I was with, they did mention Gabriel Garcia Moreno. I think there's a statue of him in the in where the presidential palace is, right next to the convent where the Conceptionist nuns still are to this day. But there is a statue, and they were telling me about this great leader, and I was pretty anti-Catholic at the time, and so I couldn't quite take it in that they were all enthused about this this great leader, and yet he was Catholic, and I was like, well, do you have any Protestants that were great leaders? It was great to learn about him. That was like, I think, my first exposure to Don Gabriel Garcia Moreno.
That's beautiful. Around here, we throw around a term a lot. Is that odd or is that God? And, is it odd that you spend that time in Ecuador and it's after you come back that you learn about it? Have you any desire to go back now with your knowledge of Mother Mariana and the apparitions?
Yes, I would love to go back and be able to, learn right from the sisters as much as possible because, the sisters know things. In fact, they're the ones that told us that we should change calling it Our Lady of Good Success to Our Lady of Good Success of the Purification. So I would love to go back there and talk to the sisters and participate in the novena that they do a couple times a year, and that would be one of my on my wish list.
Very good. And then, are you working on an expanded book on the apparitions?
No, I'm not working on any book at present.
Okay,
I wanted to make this book attainable to everyone.
Yep,
that's why I wrote it in a concise format. I wanted people to see the prophecies and be able to see what Our Lady is telling us, because she's also helping us to be able to live out the virtues by telling us specific virtues that we need in these times.
Charity and humility. And,
yes.
Yep.
And also bravery.
Yeah.
To be brave, to fight for what is right and just, and to do that without fear, because the enemy is the one that should be afraid, and he is afraid. And it's, Catholic. We as Catholics, we have been given the great entrustment of the faith. And just like I was saying earlier, our baptismal calling calls us to get into the fight, if you will.
Amen. Well, our guest today has been James or Jim Valoy. And the book we've talked about is Our Lady's Prophecies, published by Sophia Institute Press, available at sophiainstitute.com, locally here in the Philadelphia market at the St. Jude Shop. It's a quick read and really a basic introduction to Mother Mariana and the apparitions of Our Lady of Good Success of the Purification. And you mentioned that how the sisters down there wanted you to include that in our Lady's title, and first time I've come across it was in your book, so I'm thankful to you and the sisters for that. So appreciate you being here for the whole hour, Jim.
Well, thank you for having me. It really has been a joy to converse with you.
Very good. Usually, if you write for Sophia, we'll usually get contacted. They let us know what's upcoming, but if please feel free to reach out. You have my email address if something comes up in the future and you want to come back.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
All right, pal. You take care now, and God bless. Thanks for the work you've done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. God bless, and have a great evening.
You do the same. So, normally, and regular listeners may have heard me say this many times each week, I sometimes have at least one, sometimes two authors, and just not enough time in a day to read all these books. This was one of the ones that It, like I said, it's about 100 pages, and there's a few, I think a few blank pages in there. I got an advanced copy, so I don't know what the actual is. But if you're a decent reader, you can probably get through it in a day, if not two. And just a great introduction to our lady's great words. And everything that she said applies to what's going on in this crazy world of ours today. And so I encourage you to pick it up. Great to be back in the studio. Gone for a couple of weeks, not because I didn't want to be here. Just we had a couple of cancellations with guests, and things just kind of worked out. Again, I'd ask you to keep praying for Father McKay. He's on vacation for a couple of weeks to get his batteries recharged, and he'll be back with us, I think, the first Wednesday in June. And keep praying for me and for all of us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, that we continue to fight that good fight and bring you shows that allow you to fight that good fight. We're all in it, like it or not. There's so many people that don't realize the spiritual battle that we're in. And those, especially the loyal listeners here at In His Sign, know that we're right in the middle of it. And so whatever we can do to help others to stay in the fight, to keep each other in prayer, to hold each other up and reinforce, you know, our beliefs with one another, especially through those sacred conversations and talking to people just in general about why we do the things that we do and the joy that it brings us and how it manages to get us through everything that we experience day in and day out, again, in this crazy world of ours. I want to thank Patrick for being on the other side of glass and making sure our voices get out over the air. Thank Maureen for all that she does here. We've experimented with something a little bit new. You may hear tomorrow. I think it's going to be our first pre-recorded show. Dr. Anton Raimondo was able to do, and something we may be doing a little bit more of in the future. The only drawback of that is it doesn't allow for phone calls, so we will not be doing that in the 4 o'clock hour, I don't think, with Father McKay and I. We enjoy the phone calls too much, but sometimes in this 5 o'clock hour where we're interviewing one or two people and seldom get phone calls, it may be something that we can do and not have to put recordings on in the future. Speaking of recordings, you can always look them up on our website, inhissign.com. So again, thank you for being here for whatever part of the 2 hours you could, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Till then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.